Let me hear you say, fight the power. That's how it goes, the chorus, so we're going to practice together. I'll say, let me hear you say, and you say, fight the power. Let me hear you say,
fight the power.
Let me hear you say,
fight the power.
All right. You're easily trained. That's good. This, you're not, actually, but that's okay. It's the chorus of Public Enemy's song, Fight the Power, one of the most influential and important performances of their era. The song came out in 1990, and I'm not going to perform it for you. I will not inflict that upon you. But I want to read some parts of it for those of you who don't already know it by heart. While the black band's sweating and the rhythm rhymes rolling, got to give us what we want. Our freedom of speech is freedom or death. We have to fight the powers that be. To revolutionize, make a change, nothing's strange. People, people, we are the same. No, we're not the same, because we don't know the game. What we need is awareness. We can't get careless. Most of my heroes don't appear on stamps. Sample, look back, you'll look and find nothing but rednecks for 400 years, if you check. Don't Worry, Be Happy was a number one jam. Damn, if I say it, you can slap me right here. Power to the people, no delay, to make everybody see, nor to fight the powers that be. Some folks act like the protest movement, Black Lives Matter, is new. It isn't. It's a new moment and a new title. But when Public Enemy released this song on an album entitled Fear of a Black Planet, there was a firestorm of controversy. In the longer video, they ridiculed the kumbaya approach to racial justice. They called out police violence against communities of color. They took an aggressive stand for black nationalism and pride and mental self-defense fitness. If I say, don't worry, be happy, you can slap me right here. Let me hear you say,
fight the power.
Public Enemy's song riffed from an earlier song, one from 1975, The Height of the Black Power Movement by the Isley Brothers, a song by the same name, a portion of which goes like this. Got so many voices saying all the same, killing up all around me, faces full of pain. I tried to play my music, they said my music's too loud. I tried talking about it, I got the big runaround. And when I rolled with the punches, I got knocked to the ground by all this nonsense going down. Time is truly wasting, there's no guarantee. We gotta fight the powers that be. Nonsense. Nonsense is not the word that they sing in the song, by the way. There's a common thread here I wanna catch. These lines, I tried to talk about the injustice of the world. I tried to sing about it, but I got knocked down. So we have to fight the power. Because it's hard to talk about these things. We have to resist. Resist empire and colonization and oppression and violence and injustice. Resist the empire. And resistance is hard. Empire is tempting. Don't Worry, Be Happy was a number one jam. And so you can get famous and make lots of money, at least it seems that way, if you cooperate with empire. Be a token, be a good boy, be a good girl. Respectability politics, it's called, and it's easier. It's easier. The empire doesn't strike back. It even happens to people after their death. Next week is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and when we talk about King, we usually suffer from powerful historical amnesia. It took a long time after he was killed to create a holiday because before he died, he was reviled by most white Americans. We now talk about lines of his like the content of his character, and we talk about how he preached nonviolence and wasn't he so peaceful, but we forget that he condemned war and supported organized labor and that he pushed and pulled and marched and preached for a deeper change to society. We forget the passages in his writings and speeches where he said words like this. The white liberal must rid himself of the notion that there can be a tensionless transition from the old order of injustice to the new order of justice. He continued, the Negro has not gained a single right in America without persistent pressure and agitation. We forget those parts. We must resist. We must resist historical amnesia and the temptations of empire. And if it's easier for people who are oppressed by empire to give in and sing songs of cooperation than it is to fight back, how much easier still is it for those of us who mostly benefit from the privileges of empire? As Nikki said, we get to pick our battles, some of us. For full-fledged citizens of the oppressive state, for those who received or whose ancestors received the ill-gotten gains of slavery, land and wage theft, access to power and freedom from state-sponsored violence, how much easier is it for us to slip into our lane and cooperate with the powers that be, to avoid the call of resistance? So easy, so tempting. But we must resist. Why? Because it is what our faith, the call of love, demands of us. We must resist because our faith gives us a larger vision of what human life is for and what we're supposed to do with this one wild and precious life. We break the rules because our friends are in trouble. That's why. And we're willing to pay the consequences for them. We're supposed to resist because we wish to live in the sun and not as enemies of all that is life and joy. We're supposed to resist because in the end, the life of resistance is worthy of praise, and the life of compliance is unremarkable. We're supposed to resist because love sounds an echo in our soul. What though the darkness around me close, songs in the night it giveth. I suspect that you already know this. You're here in this hall on this cold and wintry day because you long to resist the seduction and the pain of empire, because you wish for a life of more meaning. You come to the Unitarian Universalist Church because you know that there's something more than get along and get along. There's more than buy and sell and consume and do it again. You're here because you do not wish to be, in Auden's words, the unknown citizen found by the Bureau of Statistics to be one against whom there was no official complaint. Was he free? Was he happy? The question is absurd. We wish for more than this. We don't mind if there's an official complaint against us. We come here because we want more in our life and the lives of others. We long for a world of justice and mercy and for an end to oppression and violence. This is the Unitarian Universalist Church, and this is what we're about. Empire, I should say, when I say resistance to empire here, that means many things. It means the use of violence and force and control to create hierarchies around race and wealth and gender and place of birth. It means vulture capitalism and white supremacy. It means a kind of deadness in the face of mystery and wonder. It means ecological destruction and short-term politics. It means the military-industrial complex and political disenfranchisement. It is one piece, a hydra, a labyrinth of interlocking systems. And we choose as best we can to resist, to resist. So the question on your mind, I suspect, isn't so much why we should resist empire, but how. We agree, I think, we should, but how? How? When all that must be resisted is so powerful, how, without burning ourselves out and leaving ourselves shattered and destroyed, how do we resist empire? This, thankfully, is a question with an answer tried and tested through millennia of practice in the resistance of empire. For as long as there has been empire, there has been resistance. Our ability to resist depends on two interconnected sources of power and wisdom. Namely, conscience and community. Conscience and community. Conscience, the ability, the practice of thinking and feeling a sense of justice and truth. Community, to be in connection with others of conscience, to hear and feel their stories and their lives. Conscience takes training and focus. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. It's a spiritual, a song that enslaved Africans would sing to remind themselves of the goal of freedom. When the white slave owners were around, they would sing, "I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus." But when they weren't, they would sing, "I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom." They meant the same thing. You need to stay your mind on freedom for yourselves and others. Put your focus on that goal. Every day, wake up with your mind stayed on freedom. Train your conscience. Listen to the deeper voice within. No storm can shake my inmost calm while to that rock I'm clinging. Cling to the rock of love, of freedom, of justice. For those whose bodies are in constant danger from empire, the task to keep your mind stayed on freedom is both more fraught and more obvious. For those who sometimes appear to benefit from empire, we have to work extra hard to train our conscience, to question authority, to wonder if things are right and fair, to be troubled by our sense of fairness, by our conscience, to develop on purpose a feeling of being maladjusted to the system. It was King who said, "There are some things to which we ought to be maladjusted." And if we're not, then our conscience needs some work. How do you do that? How do you train your conscience? You ask questions. You study. You learn. You do spiritual practice. Part of the way that empire works in our world today is through distraction. Look at this outrage of the moment. Now, look at this video of cats being cute. Oh, quick, look at the weather report. Oh, now look at this thing that we all need to buy. Is the dress blue and black, or is it white and gold? Distraction is how empire sometimes works. And it's okay for a few minutes at the end of the day, whatever, you want to find something to distract yourself, but it can suck you in and make you comfortably numb if you're not careful. The solution is spiritual practice. Take time to do something that centers your soul, that allows your conscience to speak to you. Pray, write in a journal, walk, sit still and meditate, sing one of your favorite hymns, come to worship, go to your small group meeting, let that song rise in you. This, being in touch with your sense of conscience, is one of the pillars of the ability to resist. The second is community. People with whom you share the journey and struggle. People with whom you can be honest and learn from and share with. People who are resisting empire. You'll hear more about this next week, about what it means to be a follower, a disciple in the journey of justice. The moral imagination comes alive through authentic community. When friends rejoice both far and near to prison cell and dungeon vile, our thoughts to them are winging. When friends by shame are undefiled, many stones form an arch, singly none, singly none. I am inspired and strengthened in my efforts to resist the power of empire every day by the power of community, my colleagues in ministry who share their successes and failures, the activists and the teachers and prophets of both history and today, who I read and see do extraordinary things, though they are ordinary people. And you, the people of this church, who show up to tutor and serve a meal, who come to the meetings and the rallies, who write letters and make calls and don't give up, who try to raise your children with inclusive love, who are moved by compassion and open your hearts, who teach and work and love this world. You inspire me and strengthen me in my attempts to resist empire. For this, I adore you. Because of this, I am lucky to be your minister. Community. We cannot resist empire by ourselves. What can they do to you? Anything they want. But with four, you can start an organization. It goes on. It starts when you say we and know who you mean, and each day you mean one more. prophecy. My people, let your voice be the echo of the outcries of the oppressed. To be an authentic community is to be inspired, to be comforted, to learn, to form networks of solidarity, to have pie with no seconds, to grow your moral imagination, to be a people of compassion, to learn how to be people who are not jerks. Start there. Community and conscience are related. Conscience, conscience, actually means with knowing, to know with others. So community informs our conscience. And conscience, being centered and hearing the song of that deeper love within us that pulls us toward one another, gives us the capacity to forgive and love again, for we will make mistakes, moves us to genuine connection, makes community more than friendship, makes it justice, so that we're not just a collection of individuals, but the beloved community. That's how we resist. How we resist empire, in beloved community with consciences that are alive and active. That's what it takes to stand outside the temptations and distractions, to fight the powers that be, to sing a song of justice and love. That's what it takes to fight. But it's more than that. Here's the good news. What it takes to fight the power, beloved, conscience-filled community, what it takes to fight the empire is exactly what we want to replace the empire with. It is the vision of the new world. The practice of working for justice is the enactment of the world we long for. That's good news. We can't use the master's tools to destroy the master's house. We cannot destroy one empire with another empire. It's been tried and it doesn't work. Our resistance must be grounded in the spiritual vision of peace, the love for all humanity, for other beating hearts, and for lands of sunlight everywhere. What it takes to resist, a deep love for one another in our fullness, and love for ourselves in our fullness, a love for peace, what it takes to resist is the world we wish to see. In our very act of resistance, in our very act of building communities of conscience that can fight the power, we're creating that new and more beautiful world. So let me hear you say,
fight the power.
Let me hear you say,
fight the power.
May our conscience be strong. May our community be beloved. May we have the courage and the love to dream and work for a better world for all its inhabitants. May the way we resist be the way we wish to live. May the way we live be the way of resistance, a way of beauty, and a way of peace. May it be so this day and every day. And may we now, with the dream of peace and justice alive in our heart, rise and by your spirit and sing together. This is my song.
Thank you.
stay risen. We've changed up the order of service or changed back parts of the order of service, so we can stay on your feet if you like. We're so glad you're all here. I hope what you take what you heard today and bring it into your own life. Love to see you next week. Ashley Horan, Executive Director of the Minnesota Unitarian Universalist Social Justice Network, will be preaching about this discipleship of following, how to be allies in the work for justice. It should be a really powerful message, and I hope you'll be here. I'll extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry with us until we are together again. While I do that, I invite you to join hands together, if you wish, for our benedictions and our blessings. The words of benediction from Project Plowshares. Lead me from death to life, from falsehood to truth. Lead me from despair to hope, from fear to trust. Lead me from hate to love, from war to peace. Let peace fill our hearts, our world, our universe. We'll sing together our sung blessing. We'll sing it through twice.